Hi, my name's Lauren. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is January 23rd, 2007. My home group is Young People's Happy Hour at the PB Alana Club on Cass Street. Whew. Woo! Let's go. A little natural high there. It's fun. What my experience was like when I was out there was kind of boring in the scheme of things, but it was terrifying for me. In the year before I got sober, I had managed to push away everyone that was important to me, and not because I didn't have people around who wanted to be a part of my life, but because I just really was afraid that they'd find out what I was really about, which was drinking and using other substances. But, you know, I thought that my drinking was a byproduct of the college experience. I knew that I had an issue with substances since I was a child. My fondest memories as a kid is being around my uncles who drink and smoke. And so alcohol and cigarettes have this reminiscent kind of feeling. It's a family feeling for me, smelling beer and still cigarettes. I feel very at home in that environment. So naturally, I was attracted to, like, dive bars and smelly old men. And it was just, you know, those were the kind of people. Oh, I'm so grateful. But those are the kind of people that I would surround myself with, the same kind of people who were attracted to the same kind of places. And my family and the people that cared about me were not people who were attracted to those kind of places. So I managed to push away everybody because they wouldn't co-sign my shit. And so I surrounded myself with people who would. And slowly, it was really fast for me. I mean, I really only spent about six years out there, but you know, I was alone, and the only person that I was left with was my boyfriend, who was a heroin addict and just couldn't get one day of sobriety or any kind of clean time, and that was okay with me because it made me look good, you know, because I felt like heroin was way worse than alcohol, hello, but, you know, surprise, we landed in the same rehab, you know, and it was, denial is a crazy thing, and was my best friend, you know, denial was my best friend, and, but, you know, when at my first meeting, I went as support with said boyfriend, you know, because I didn't have the problem, he had the problem. And it was at the Young People's Happy Hour meeting in PB, and a man reached his hand out to us after the meeting and said, "Welcome, you know, we saw that he introduced himself, you know, are you an alcoholic, are you in the program?" asking me, and I was like, "Oh, no, I'm good, thank you, you know, I'm support friends, you know, I can stop, you know." And I ate those words the very night, you know, like I couldn't stop. I just couldn't. And that became very evident in the months following that first meeting that I went to. You know, they say AA kind of ruins your drinking, and it's so true. So if you're new and you want to continue drinking, I would leave. Bye. You know, bye. You know, because this shit will ruin that for you. And it got in my head. It just, everything got in my head. And I started, you know, what did they read in the beginning about, you know, like switching from brandy to heroin or something like that? You know, that was my case. That was my, you know, I did that. You know, it got worse for me. And it really hit home. I heard that at my first meeting, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I do that. And then I was tripping on it for months after that. You know, after I got landed in rehab, because I thought I was going into the psych ward, because that's what I told them I wanted. I had drank for a month straight, and I didn't realize that I had done that, that I drank for a month straight, and it didn't occur to me to drink one morning. You know, if you can imagine that, it didn't occur to me to drink. And within 3 hours, I was shaking and sweating and hallucinating, and I thought that I was going crazy. I really thought that I was insane. And so luckily I was seeing a therapist at the time, and I was like, I think I need help. And she's like, you think? And I was like, yeah, I really do. And so she put me in a facility, and I was like, great, you know. But I got there, and they're like, hey, guess what? You can't drink anymore. And I was like, wait, oh, I'm in rehab. Okay. Wow. And it was this shocking thing that I needed to get sober, and I heard what I needed to hear for some reason when I was in rehab. I haven't had, relapse is not a part of my story, God willing, to this point. And, you know, I heard what I needed to hear from people who brought meetings to that hospital, and from people who would come to us and say, you know, I've been where you've been, and I know how you're feeling. And a woman spoke, and I was like, wow, you know, you are, you know, 50 years old, and I was 22 at the time, and I was like, and you are talking my story. How is that possible? And it was shocking and wonderful at the same time, because I felt like finally I had a reason why I felt so dysfunctional. And I thought, okay, great, there's a solution. There is a solution. And you know, I had to make a lot of changes in my life that first year. I had to move out of where I was. I got fired from my job for going to rehab. And, well, because I was gone for so long. And then, you know, I had to move back at home, which was really humbling, because I thought, you know, since I was a functional alcoholic, I paid my bills, I had an apartment or whatever, you know, that I was okay, but I wasn't okay. And since I lost my job, I had to move back home. That was a humbling experience for me. One of the most terrifying experiences in my early recovery was making friends with women, which I just didn't do. You know, I told you I hung out with smelly old men. Like, that was my crowd. I did not hang out with young women who were sober. Like, no, you know. And, you know, luckily I surrounded myself with a group of, or they surrounded me, really. Like, they, like, just, I was in the middle of this hurricane of young women, and it was terrifying. I was in the eye of the storm just going, you know, and they surrounded me, and they made me go to coffee with them, and they made me go out dancing with them, which wasn't something I did, you know, hole-in-the-wall bar, going out to clubs downtown, going dancing with sober girls. It was very drastic, but it was awesome. You know, I had never had that kind of fun before, and they showed me that fun and sobriety was, like, actually possible, and having women who cared about me wasn't so terrifying anymore, and having, you know, an open, honest relationship with everyone who was involved in my life made things a lot easier. I didn't have to hide inside myself anymore. And putting things out on the table was really, it became easier. The more you gave, the more I gave. You know, and that's what I love about this program, is that we give. And that allows somebody else, it makes it safe for somebody else to be able to give too. And I'm so grateful, you know, that I was in a position where, at the time, you know, because in the last 4 years, I've seen, like, waves of, you know, where people are really into service, and there's a lot of newcomers, and then there's not so many newcomers, and people get into their own thing and stuff. And luckily, when I came into the program, it was just a wave of a lot of people reaching out their hands at that time. And I really try to make it a point in recovery now. You know, I've worked the steps every year. I have two sponsors. But the biggest part of my sobriety is giving back and is being of service when I can, of, you know, setting up the chairs if nobody's going to set up the chairs, raising my hand to break down if I can, you know, giving rides if I can do that at the time, you know, whatever I can give at the time, you know, like, I learned not to put myself out there too much, because then I get overwhelmed and I get, you know, I tend to do that a lot. I put a lot on my plate and I freak out, and then I isolate. And everything drops off the table for me. And so, you know, I give what I can. And if all that, if you're a newcomer here and you think, what can I give? If all you can give is, like, a cigarette to somebody, which I don't know if I should even promote that, but, you know, or just a hug, you know, which might seem really skeevy actually at this point in your recovery, but, you know, or just a smile even. If you can manage to muster a smile to somebody who needs it, like, that alone can mean the world to somebody who may not have had someone smile at them for years, you know, and just smiling at somebody could be a lot. So if you're sitting in here and you're thinking, like, what can I do? You know, there's a lot. There's a lot you can do. Even talking to somebody who has a lot of time, you're giving to them because they're giving to you. That's how this works. I know that the greatest thing that I was able to do was be a sponsor in this program. And, you know, I didn't think I was ready. When I was the first time I was a sponsor, I had 6 months clean and sober. And I just finished the steps, you know, my sponsor's like, now go, be a sponsor. I'm like, you're crazy. Like, what are you talking about? But, you know, to me, my sponsor, I have a sponsor right now. The reason why I have two sponsors is because one of them is, you know, my step guide. And she guides me through the steps every year. You know, that's her role for me is as a step guide. And I have another sponsor who's there for me at 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm having a mental breakdown. You know, and that she's my friend. But I call her my sponsor because she has 28 years of sobriety and she has a lot of experience. She has a lot of life experience. I can learn from that. And if you're new, I encourage you to reach out to people who have a lot of life experience, you know, and who, you, if you connect with any part of their story, they have something to share with you. How did they get past that, you know? And, you know, with each life experience I have, it's like a notch in my sobriety belt. Like, okay, cool, I got over that, you know, and I made it through sober. That's amazing. You know, this last year I've been through 4 deaths. I went through one almost death of my son's father, you know, the same boyfriend, heroin addict. I mean, he was gone. Like, we didn't know where he was. He was dead. We thought he was dead for 4 months, and I went through that. And I'm going to tell you right now, I was really close to relapsing, really close. Last year, and but I have a little son, you know, and I have those people that surround me like a hurricane, and they did that for me during that time when I couldn't hold myself up. They held me up, and I made it through that. I made it through that sober. I didn't have to pick up no matter what I've gone through, no matter what I will go through. I never have to pick up, and that's the hope of this program, is that I never pick up again. And I'm so grateful. And I'm really, really glad that Larry asked me to speak. I love this meeting. I don't get to it as much as I'd like to, but I really love this meeting a lot. And I think I'm good. Thank you so much.